No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons. Happy Saturday. You've made it to May 3rd, and the Rockies still doing their thing in San Francisco on the road. Two more games this weekend. They're both day games. 2:05 starts here in the Mountain Standard Time Zone. Day off on Monday, no game on Cinco de Mayo, but then a homestand against Tigers and Padres. I want to talk about some of the incredible stories from former players, managers, coaches about Coors Field, the 30 years of Coors Field. Great story by ESPN and some interesting insight, some thoughts on the things that were in that article. But splash hits is a big thing over at McCovey Cove. And Rocky's got some lefties with power that could possibly get it done. Now, there's been over close to 200 splash hits, but I think the Giants only keep track of the home splash hits going down the right field line into that McCovey Cove. Just last season, I believe it was Helio Ramos, became the first right-handed hitter to put one out into McCovey Cove. All the others, lefties or switch hitters, but they were batting left-handed at the time. For the Colorado Rockies, they've done it four times. The last one to do it, Charlie Blackmon, back in 2022. I believe I was at that game. I believe I was in San Francisco. You know, it might have been May. It might have actually been a May series in San Francisco that I was at, because I can remember watching on TV. So I think it just happened to be that the Rockies were in San Francisco twice, essentially, in a month. But Charlie Blackmon did it against Jose Alvarez. Corey Dickerson did it in 2014 against Tim Hudson. Cargo was home run 29 for opposing players, at least. Did it earlier in that 2014 season against a lefty, Madison Bumgarner. And the season prior, Cargo did it in 2013 against lefty Barry Zito. So Cargo, the only player with two McCovey Cove splash hits. Now, on the flip side of things, not as nice. Rockies pitchers have given up 10 to the Giants. The first one was the ninth splash hit overall by the Giants. It was Barry Bonds back in 2001, given up by John Thompson. Thompson is the only Rocky to actually give up two splash hits. They were both to Bonds. And the last one to do it was Daniel Bard in 2021, April 27th, against Brandon Crawford. So we'll see if we get one this year from the Rockies. Been a while, but expect it to be a left-handed hitter if that does happen. And it is strange how sometimes the farthest baseballs are the same-sided pitcher-hitter combination. So there's a lefty on the hill in that bullpen for the Giants, and there's a lefty hitter coming to the plate. There's a decent shot, or your best shot, I should say, is going to be against the lefty. So that means you got to count out Michael Tolia. It means you might have to count out Michael Tolia. We'll see what happens with that. Anyway, let's get to the story about Coors Field. It was a great article that had a ton of contributors, and it just had a lot of really interesting reflections about what it's like calling the highest ballpark above sea level your home. And the two things I liked the most from it was Marvin Freeman, who was he pitched at Mile High in 94 and Coors Field in 95, actually was the first Rockies pitcher, one of only four, to actually get a Cy Young Award vote, believe it or not. He was fantastic in 1994, but he called Coors Field arena baseball. And we just need to bring that back. Coors Canaveral is a name that we haven't heard in a while, but arena baseball is a great description of Coors Field. Clint Hurdle compared playing at Coors Field to street basketball, where the last bucket wins. And yeah, it's really who gets last licks. You know, that's one of the reasons why I think attendance can be so good in Denver for Rockies fans, because when you win half your games at home, that means half the time you attend a game, you're going to leave feeling pretty happy. And when there's as many walk-offs as there are, I think I talked about it this offseason, there's like one in every eight games at Coors Field is a walk-off. That's okay. Again, that's going to make your good time that much more gooder. And yes, I am a good, I do write as well. But Carlos Estevez, I loved his story from his rookie season, talking about giving up a fly ball to the opposite field to Buster Posey. Pitched him right, made sure to not throw down and in into his happy zone. So great pitch location, Buster Posey hit it the opposite way. Estevez pointed like it's a simple fly ball, but it ends up going out. It ends up being a home run for Gerald Dempsey Posey. And Ubaldo Jimenez said that, you know, the pitchers said, pitchers would live by a credo that you can never point out. They never point up. You can never point up because that ball could very well go out. I also thought it was interesting that Ubaldo talked about doing a lot of running and a lot of training at altitude at Coors Field, either running the steps at Coors Field or going to Red Rocks and running the stands there. I don't think he was running them backwards like that one crazy guy with his dog. I mean, crazy as in it's crazy athletic. Is he crazy in other ways? I'll leave that up to you. Ryan Spielborgs had a great story about the Rockies coming back, according to him, down 7-1 in the ninth inning against the St. Louis Cardinals to win it. And Tony La Russa got so mad, he broke his glasses the next day, showing up with tape on the glasses, looking like, according to Spilly, a total Poindexter. And I went back to see what kind of evidence we had about La Russa being a Poindexter. And it turns out our memories as people aren't as great as we might think they are. We get the big things right, but sometimes it's the details that aren't always exact. And it's true, I think, for everybody, that ideas get mashed together over the years. They can take on new lives. In fact, I noticed Renee over on Blue Sky, Renee Deckert, who does an incredible job covering the Rockies. She linked an article on Defector about a story that Jerry DePoto had about someone hitting a home run above the purple row in right field, which is just not possible. And the article, you know, looked it up and basically came to that same conclusion of like, yeah, I mean, there's no video evidence to find out, but that just seems like an impossibility. And I would say it was. So no knock on Spilly, but I had to go back and look, because you might even be curious about what would have made Tony La Russa break his glasses that he could not get repaired in time. That's why he had tape all over him. But the score on July 6th, 2010, check out the box score if you'd like, it was 9-2 in the seventh inning, and it ended up becoming 9-3 going into the ninth inning. And the Rockies, yes, got 9 runs in the ninth. Here's how. Seth Smith with the walk-off 3-run homer, but the best part is Jason Giambi had the game-tying RBI single in the ninth. Manager Jim Tracy took him out because he was the winning run and was, well, 39 years old and, you know, probably, you know, about 250 pounds. So who was the pinch runner? Oh, only Aaron Cook, the next day's starting pitcher. And, you know, he ends up scoring in the walk-off home run. The next day, Aaron Cook on the mound just got his record broken by Kyle Freeland for most starts in Rockies history. But the Cardinals had a 7-4 lead that next day after blowing the 9-3 lead, and Colorado ends up coming back, walking it off with a Chris Iannetta solo home run, 8-7 victory on July 7th, 2010. So check out those box scores if you're interested in that. Tyler Anderson still kicking around, still doing his thing in the Angels rotation. He said that typically, and I'm sure this is true of most pitchers, when there's a run on first base and two outs, there's a feeling of safety. Can't take your foot off the gas, but you're going to be fine. You can get out of the jam. You can even give up a double and maybe not give up a run, at least in most ballparks. But Anderson recounted this story in the ESPN article about Coors Field, that he gave up a line drive single to Evan Longoria that just went over the second baseman's head, and yet it went all the way to the wall for triple. And he added, of course, at the end of the story, you're never safe. And that's true. You are never safe when you pitch at Coors Field. And that's one of the nicest things that people said about the ballpark. Walker Buehler pointed out that starting pitchers will usually go 6 or 7 innings, but at Coors Field, 5 innings is considered an accomplishment. That's why I don't know that this has been fully accepted. I don't think I was the one who came up with this, invented it, if you will. I think there's so many different things that are in the ether that it's hard to know. Wait, was that an original idea of my own or not? I'm going to say it wasn't, but a Coors quality start is, instead of it being at least 6 innings, it's at least 5 innings. And instead of it being 3 runs or less, you can really say it's 4 runs or less. And yeah, that does, you know, equate for an ERA around 7, but it's Coors Field for you. You need to give your team a little bit of length. And in a ballpark in which, you know, both teams usually average about 5 runs, you giving up 4 runs in 5 innings is, you know, your team's not out of it. In a lot of other ballparks, particularly like Oracle Park, we're seeing this weekend, that is, you know, far too much. Buehler said in this article, quote, it's a top 5 ballpark in baseball, but I just don't think our game should be played at that kind of elevation. Maybe. It's certainly something worth discussing, but Major League Baseball, I don't think, wants to discuss it at all, simply because money talks, as we know, and the business of baseball is very good in Colorado. You know, having 30 teams in baseball isn't always about having 30 teams that make tons of money independently on their own. We know there are some teams that, were it not for the competitive balance that we currently have and revenue sharing, they would not be able to survive on their own. You know, in fact, George Steinbrenner, owner of the Yankees, had to convince some of the other larger market clubs saying, hey, we kind of need these small market teams. We kind of need different clubs coming to our city all the time. And for us to travel to those places, like, it just rounds out the sport a lot better, creates more opportunities for more professional players and more young players to then go out and say, well, you know, maybe I can be a professional ball player, but we don't have a pro team, or we don't have a big league team in Seattle or Denver or St. Petersburg. Well, they do exist now, and that improves the quality of the game. Yeah, it definitely thins things out when it comes to pitching when you first expand, certainly when you do it multiple times over a short period of time, but the money's good. Baseball, the business of baseball is good in Colorado, so say what you will about it not being right, if you will, to play at elevation like that. Only one team really has to suffer through that, and it's really for the betterment of all of baseball. Jim Leland lasted 1 year in Colorado, ended up quitting after his first year, signed a 3-year deal, quit after the first year. He apparently told Buck Showalter, quote, I love the game. I want to manage baseball. This is not baseball. And okay, it's not the typical kind of baseball, but it's baseball. We know that it is. It's just very different. And that is something that even the Colorado Rockies fail to understand. And there was a very interesting article there, a very interesting quote that was maybe one of the biggest revelations to come out of this article, at least for me, dealing with, you know, this is not baseball. Very interesting. Definitely something to chew on. Jake Peavy discussed his experiences at Coors Field.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Specifically, starting game 163, saying, quote, "I've been a part of a lot of great games, but that place is not baseball. And it's just a different type of baseball." And I understand if you want to say, well, you know, when you're talking about the major league level, there's a certain quality that major league baseball should have. It's one of the reasons why playing at George M. Steinbrenner Field in Tampa and playing at Sutter Health Park in Sacramento doesn't really feel like it's the majors. And yes, I understand, and there's been some issues with both of those ballparks, but those things happen. That it's still major league baseball, and you can't rule out a viable commodity like Denver, Colorado, and just say, well, baseball shouldn't be there. Baseball will eventually, maybe not in our lifetimes, but will eventually branch out to Mexico, whether it's Monterey or Mexico City, and you'll have more teams that are at elevation. I think Salt Lake City, alongside Portland, has a very good shot of getting one of the next two expansion teams. I don't think they're going to get both. I don't know that two teams on the West Coast is going to work. Two on the East Coast might work, but Major League Baseball does want to have one West, one East. But Salt Lake City would pose a problem and maybe become something advantageous for the Rockies. But Coors Field has been difficult, that even the Rockies can't figure it out. Maybe one day they will, and maybe one day they should have figured it out. I'll get to that revelation here in just a moment. Trevor Story recounted that Padres series from 2019. Now, you know, I don't know the details of all these conversations. If you actually go and look, there's not an author for this article, because it was really just a composite of a lot of conversations. From his comments, Story's comments, it sounded like the question was posed to him of like, hey, what are your thoughts on Coors Field? Do you remember any crazy series that stands out to you as it being, you know, this pinball machine, arena baseball, a street basketball game? And Story talked about that four-game series against the Padres in 2019, where 92 runs were scored, a modern-day record. Story said, quote, "It was deflating." And deflating was an understatement, because I've brought this series up a lot. This was a turning point. One could argue that those four games in June in 2019 was the turning point for this franchise. I'm not going to say the turning point of all time, but for right now, since that series, the Rockies have been awful, absolutely awful. And it's the one time that I saw Bud Black very, very upset. He could not hold back his emotions after the fourth and final game of that series that they lost. I will leave it at that. But it was at that moment, and in that series, he knew Wade Davis was cooked and that this team was probably not going to make the postseason. And that was June 16th, and he was right. Over the final 79 games of that season, they went 27-52. After, I believe it was July 1st, they still had one of the two wild cards. They had one of the two. They had the final NL wild card on July 1st. And yet the final 79 games of the season, they played at a 55-107 pace. And Colorado has not been the same since. Jerry DePoto also in this article describes a home run that Mark McGwire hit that went through the windshield of the primary owner, Jerry McMorris, at that time. And this was an interesting one I hadn't heard of. And Spilly kind of referenced it a little bit too. The timelines don't exactly match up, but still, he said that the bullpen at Coors Field, there was a storage room in there. And if you're a reliever and you gave up four runs in a game, players would claim a brick and write a message on that brick. And the idea was, hey, this is going to be here for all time. So you know what? Maybe leave a positive, uplifting message or just a message of strategy for the next guy to come in and something to think about. And for Jerry DePoto, what he wrote on his brick was, they tell you to keep the ball down. Don't listen, right? Don't try to be a ground ball pitcher on the moon. It's just an impossibility. And unfortunately, he said that GM Bob Gebhardt saw this. And as soon as he did, a little upset, he had the grounds crew paint over those bricks. That would be pretty neat. That would be pretty neat if that was still there to this day. But one of the questions posed to just about everybody in that article was, how do you win at Coors Field? And for Dan O'Dowd, former GM who did have some success with the Rockies, he said, be like the Tampa Bay Rays. And when you go back and look at O'Dowd's tenure, he did try to operate like the Tampa Bay Rays, just wasn't successful. That's why they called him Dealin' Dan. But what he said was, you build around player development, and when players are at their peak trade value, flip them for a big return. That's what the Rays do, and that's why they're continued to be successful despite not having a large payroll. O'Dowd tried to do that in different ways, trading players, maybe not when they were at their peak value, but he was not afraid to make a deal to acquire something that he needed to. He also added that on the pitching side, power arms, strike throwers, and athletic guys are the ones you want to target. And Colorado has been doing that a lot more lately. They were able to get Victor Vodnik, picking him up from Atlanta during that 2023 trade deadline. That was important. Seth Halverson, they were able to pinpoint in that year's draft. He quickly was able to come up. So they're kind of getting there a little bit. And Chase Dolander, you know, doing it as a starting pitcher, impressive. So maybe, just maybe, the Rockies are doing some of those things right now that they haven't in the past. Buck Showalter saying there needs to be a pitcher-centric approach. Develop your own pitchers, which the Rockies do. Draft arms in all 20 rounds. There's no such thing as too much pitching depth. And that's also true. I think the Rockies could probably do a little bit better with having more pitching depth, but they're slowly but surely doing that. It's one of the reasons why I like the bullpen, was because you had so many young guys that had options that you can cycle through them. And when somebody is not hot, you can go down to the minors and bring up that next guy who may not be hot because it's the Pacific Coast League, but still you can go ahead and rinse and recycle when a guy needs some time off or needs to work on a couple things. So again, that provides a little bit of hope that maybe the Rockies are doing that. But the biggest revelation from this article over on ESPN, it's free, but it's all about 30 years at Coors Field. Dan O'Dowd says he wishes he hadn't implemented the humidor. He said he almost wishes. But he almost wishes that he hadn't implemented the humidor because it took away some of the Rockies' home field advantage. And you know from a few days ago talking about Dante Bichette coming back to Coors Field and what Don Baylor would do, having the Blake Street Bombers there for the final round of batting practice for the opposing starting pitcher and pitchers for the opposing team at Coors Field to see these guys mash and put a bit of fear of God in them. And that home field advantage was taken away a little bit because of the humidor. Now, the sea level business is always going to be a disadvantage for Colorado. So that means the only true advantage that they could ever have is making Coors Field an absolute fortress for the Rockies. Make Coors Field a disadvantage for visiting teams. Punish them. And that becomes, you know, that strategy would have worked even better in the past before we had a balanced schedule, when you saw teams in your own division come around 3-4 times, that would have really damaged them. And then, you know, after they go through their entire bullpen, their next series, they're going to be struggling and hurting too. But still, I think Coors Field can become a real advantage, a home field advantage for the Rockies again at some point. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what they do to make that happen. But I think it could happen again for this franchise. And Blake Snell seconded that, how Coors Field is just a headache for opposing players. And, you know, I didn't mean that, pun intended, with the headache and altitude sickness and all that good stuff. But Blake Snell mentioned that his debut in Denver was actually outstanding, but he hasn't pitched well there since. And the question that was shot his way was, what do you first think of when you think of Coors Field? And he answered, when do we fly out? End quote. He's thinking about, when do we leave Denver? When do we leave Coors Field? And this is a guy who's, a lot of his career recently has been spent in the NL West with the Padres, Giants, and now Dodgers. It's rough. It's absolutely rough. It's one of the reasons why I was surprised that Aaron Judge came to Colorado back in 2023, after he had hurt his foot on that fence at Dodger Stadium. And he was, you know, doing his rehab. And I think that was my question to him, in fact, was, you know, coming here at altitude, and he just kind of wasn't worried about it, didn't buy into it, you know, figured that the pros outweighed the cons as far as being around his team and being a leader by example in the clubhouse and doing his training there. So, you know, there are ways around those things, or at least trying to minimize that damage with just intense hydration. You can hydrate yourself really, really well. And it's something that Charlie Blackmon was able to do and sustain for a 14-year career. And we're seeing some of the young guys on the Rockies, you know, try to implement some of those things now. So we'll see what happens if the Rockies themselves have read this article and are taking some of those things to heart. Now, all of these things have already been mentioned, and they've been discussed in the clubhouse. They've been discussed in the front office. It's just whether or not that front office wants to do something about it, whether or not they'll buy into some of these ideas, some of those concepts floating out there, and invest financially in that, because these things aren't exactly cheap. When they renovated the clubhouse in 2019, they brought in some of those things. They brought in a salt tank for guys, you know, a deprivation tank for guys to rest, relax, and, you know, try to recharge and regenerate. There's a nap room. Like, they've put some things in that they didn't have previously to help these guys out. It hasn't worked since they've done that, since those renovations, but still, you know, maybe a small sample size in the grand scheme of things, a different group of guys, maybe those things will make much more of an impact. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. We'll wait and see what happens with this, you know, Giants series. If this is one they can possibly win, I think it'd settle for break even perhaps, but if they can win that before coming back home for six games against the Tigers and Padres before going back out on the road for three against Texas and three against the Diamondbacks, at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB on all the social media platforms, and Rockies Insider, go everywhere. Head over to the YouTube channel, subscribe so you can know when I'm going live. I would really, really appreciate you doing that, because I appreciate you listening to me today and giving me a little bit of momentum. But as I like to say, momentum, it can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.